Good morning, everyone. I don't have a guest in the studio this morning, but I do have a picture here. That's my guest. It's sitting in the chair. So let me read to you what it says for those of you that are in the radio audience. It says, 2 out of 3 adults in poverty are women. What if we were all to go to the polls? I'll talk a little bit more about that later on, but I'm going to start off saying it takes a quantitative leap to bring about a qualitative transformation. And right now, I'm not going to participate in any marches or peace rallies or any of those things. The reason being is there's no leap. We did this back in the 60s. Not saying that we shouldn't be doing these things. We should. But there are other things that we should be concentrating on at the same time. Because a lot of times, while we're out there marching and protesting, there are things that are occurring behind the scenes that we sometimes fail to see. And sometimes these things, it was intended for us not to see these things, so a march or a protest is created purposely by someone. Of course, it's evil. But no, I won't be participating in anything like that because there is no leap. It takes a quantitative leap to bring about a qualitative transformation. Now, the other things that we can be doing is associated with what's occurring in your communities that is associated with politics and how your tax-paying dollars are being spent. Now, one of the things I want to talk about today is the grocery tax. Now, there are some cities around this country that are already paying a grocery tax. And we get to vote on this in November. I'll get back to that. But anyway, it started off some while back pertaining to the sodas that our children are receiving in schools and everything. They want to take them out of the machines and so they'll have a healthy, diet with that doesn't include sodas. Well, then they decided to tax sodas. That's what they told us. They had to tax sodas and in order to prevent people from buying as many sodas. And it turned out it's a part of a groceries tax. Now, groceries are your food items that we were not paying taxes on. And now there are certain cities in the country that are charging taxes. Now, San Francisco is one of them, I believe, recently did this. And now Oakland is looking to do this. I don't want us to pay any grocery taxes, but I happen to know what's going on in Oakland. I don't know what happened in the other cities. I'm thinking that it's pretty much the same, though. You think about your city if you're getting ready to pay a tax or you are being taxed for groceries right now. Now, all of the little corner stores in Oakland are owned and operated by people that are not from this country. Okay? I have no problems with that. I really don't until I'm relating their behavior here with this grocery tax. Several years ago, I was doing a research on the small stores in the community. And what happened was I noticed something that was consistently among many small business owners, particularly the corner stores, you know, the little small stores, who mainly they only sold beer and wine off sale, you know, license. They played with the taxes, and I looked right at them do it, and I started keeping notes. I even have receipts that I wrote my little notes on, and I even have witnesses that I sent to the store to see if the same thing occurred. But first of all, they don't want to give you a receipt. If you are a regular in the community that they are in, and you start being friendly with them and things like that, and you buy pretty much the same thing, they know that. They know what they're charging you. What they do is they don't give you a receipt, and you don't even think about it. Well, one day, I asked for a receipt, and they went on and they gave me a receipt, and I looked at it afterwards to see how the receipt was. I paid the same thing. It was no different in charges. It's just that I wanted to see that, you know, by law, they're supposed to give you a receipt. So, but I wanted to see, you know, what the situation was. And so when I got back home, I looked at the receipt, and it said groceries. You know, the printout on the receipt said groceries for the items that I purchased. And, of course, you don't pay taxes on groceries. But let me tell you what I purchased. I purchased beer, wine, and cigarettes. This is when I was smoking cigarettes. I still smoke some, I still drink beer and wine. But the cigarette thing, I don't do that anymore like I did. But anyway, on it, it said groceries. So I said, this is strange. So the amount I wrote on the receipt for the amount that the items cost, and I wrote next to the amount what it was for. I wanted to see if this was going to be a consistent pattern, because I saw then that that was wrong. And so I sent someone else to the store, and I told them to make sure they got a receipt. And when they brought the receipt back, I told them to look at it. And they said, yeah, that's the right amount. Nobody's paying attention to it. That's the right amount. That's what the beer costs. And, yeah, that's what the wine costs, and that's what, you know, my cigarettes cost. I had company. We were going to drink some beer and wine. And she didn't even catch it, what I was getting at. I said, well, what did you buy? What does it say on the receipt? And she said, groceries. She said, what? She caught it then, because you don't tax groceries. Now, a lot of them are doing that. They're selling you beer, wine, and things that are supposed to be taxed. They're not, you know, paying any taxes or collecting any taxes on those items. And so I tried it at a number of stores here in West Oakland and North Oakland. I decided to try it, and yes, the stores were being owned and operated by people that weren't from this country, and they weren't Mexican or Asian, okay? And pretty much the same thing occurs. They don't give you a receipt unless you ask for one, first of all. And then some of them are doing the right thing. When they give you the receipt, they charge you the taxes and all that because they punched in taxes when they put it into the cash register. They just didn't hand you a receipt. And see, this is a common practice. I don't know. The best thing for us to do is to make sure that this grocery tax doesn't pass. But at the same time, we're going to have to stop these small business owners from doing this and not paying, you know, taxes that they're supposed to be paying. Now, the people, the city council, county, they know what's going on. But see, if they would bring up what I'm about to talk about and say, there will be lawsuits all over the place. I'm looking at it with my own eyes. I live in this community. Many of these individuals that have these little store corners, they don't live in Oakland. They're collecting the money in Oakland and spending it in some other city. They don't hire Oakland or anything like that. One of the things I thought was going to occur is that people that opened up businesses, especially the little smaller businesses, they were supposed to be community people as well, and or at least have one employee that lived in Oakland. This is not occurring. So what we have is a lot of little corner stores, and we have many of them in Oakland, all over the place, West Oakland and East Oakland in particular. This is predominantly where the African-American people are. See, we are treated like we're stupid, you know, and we're not. We just fall for things. You know, a lot of people are thinking that they're getting over not paying the taxes on what they're purchasing, that there's taxes being paid. And that means the city is not, you know, receiving any taxes from these small businesses. And that's why they're going to have to start taxing you. This appears to be happening in a number of cities in this country. So the only thing I can ask you to do is when you go to your small corner stores, see if they immediately give you a receipt. And if they give you a receipt, what are they saying you are purchasing? I don't know how many stores are doing this, but I personally have visited 3 stores that didn't give receipts until I requested them. And then many times the receipt didn't reflect what I actually purchased. Now, I'm being told the reason why they're not charging taxes on the alcohol and the cigarettes is because many times they're getting this alcohol and cigarettes illegally through illegal sources. For example, it may not be stolen, but they have a company that they know that they could purchase alcohol from at a deal in order for you to sell it, or you can purchase alcohol from them and you don't keep records of it because you didn't buy it from a particular liquor distributor. You bought it from maybe another family member that has a liquor store, a big liquor store that buys a lot of alcohol. And I know of 2 cases of such. And it so happens that The second liquor store opened, or reopened, it was sold, it was reopened. It was opened by the same family members. These two stores are about, what, 5 blocks maybe apart on the same main street, but on opposite sides of the street. And I'm going to go and do some more research on them. I'm not going to give you the names of them. But we found out that they were family members after I saw one of the individuals at the first store working at the second store. And then that's when I found out they were families. Now, those two stores don't want to give you receipts. The first one that was open is the one that I told you that was charging alcohol and cigarettes to groceries. Now, this is what I ask people in the Oakland community and as well as anywhere in this country where they're charging you a grocery tax, go and see how your small stores are operating, not your big stores, you know, the big chain stores that you know. It's the little small corner stores that are in particularly African-American communities. And do your research. See how they are actually charging people and if taxes are not being charged. I know at the store that I have a number of receipts that I wrote on, you know, what was the items were in order to keep track of to see if it was a consistency. If they do this, you know, a lot. And if they did it with me, I know they did it with pretty much everyone that comes there, which means that Oakland is not receiving taxes, business taxes, which will cause them to give us this grocery tax because they're not receiving taxes on the regular stuff that they know they're supposed to receive taxes, tax money on, and people are supposed to be collecting tax money on. And they know that there's enough alcohol and tobacco items all up and through Oakland that there has to be more money being made than that. So the elected officials here really have their hands tied. They can't say the things that I'm saying because there'd be a lawsuit all over the place, you know, because they are elected officials. It requires people in the community to do something about this. Now, another concern I have about the grocery tax are those individuals that are receiving food stamps. They're already struggling trying to eat with the small amount of money they give them for food because they have it all now on a card, like a debit card. And you can go to the store and just give them your debit card or the cash side. They are now letting you go to the machines where you can get cash. So they have it separate on this card. They know how much food you can purchase on this card as well as how much other monies that you have on the card. I'm concerned about the people that are receiving food stamps on those cards, the food stamp monies. Because I don't see anything on here saying that people that receive food stamps will not have to pay these taxes. Now, all you're doing is pushing poor people further and further into poverty. Most of these individuals that receive food stamps are single mothers that have one or more children. And so food is very crucial when the children come. See, I'm not going to talk about the single people that don't have children You better, for real, you better go get a job. Shouldn't be getting anything, really, unless you have a medical problem. Now, we're gonna have to do something. I'm gonna do some of my old stuff that I used to do. I'm going to start registering people to vote again. I used to do that often. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to make sure that the people on my block are registered. If they aren't, I haven't been keeping track of my neighbors on the registration, voter registration stuff. But I am going to now because I have many people that are receiving public assistance that live on this block. And we even have a section out, a Section 8 and low housing apartment on this block. And so I have to get with my neighbors, and I have pretty good neighbors, so I don't have a problem with it. I'm not like most folks who don't know their neighbors at all, don't speak to them, don't say good morning, don't do anything. I'm not like most folks. I like to meet my neighbors. And I have pretty good neighbors on this block, so I'm going to at least take care of my block. I've already started. I went to a couple of governmental offices yesterday to see if they had the little stands that have the voter affidavits there so people off the streets can just come in, pick up a registration form, fill it out, turn it in, and now they're registered to vote. Now, the city, everyone tells me at the other government office, the city is supposed to be the one that has these voter registration forms. And yes, they did have the little receptacle, the thing that I call it a receptacle, that the affidavit stand in, the little stand, the holder for, but nothing was in them. I was told that they came quite often to bring them. I will be checking again in the next couple of weeks to see if there are any in at least the city offices. The other offices don't have them. Now, what we need to do is make sure all governmental offices have the same place that they have those free papers and handouts about what's going on in the city and the state and the government. They should have one of those receptacles right there with voter affidavits in every governmental office. Now, I'm going to try to see if I can get some of these small stores that I'm talking about to put voter registration forms in their stores because they know about the grocery tax and they don't care nothing about it. They just going to tax you, which means that you're going to be paying taxes on apples and oranges, milk, butter, bread, you know, not just sodas, the items, the food items that you generally don't pay taxes on. You're going to be paying almost 10%. What is it, 9.75 or something like that now? It's almost 10, to probably jump up to 10% by then. And so now, if a person went to get $30 worth of groceries, they're going to have to pay approximately $3 on taxes. And that could mean bread and butter and milk, especially when now the dollar stores are selling food items. You can get a loaf of bread for a dollar, a dozen eggs for a dollar. That when the dollar stores or the Dollar Trees or the 99 cent stores, they're all about the same. But the ones that have the food items and the vegetables help out in this community. You will find them in West Oakland. We have one in West Oakland. What is that, a Dollar Tree, I think, or it might be a dollar. I don't know which one it is. But it has food items there. Now, that became a help to a lot of people that had food stamps because a lot of these little stores will take your EBT card, is what they call it, like the little debit card. And even the dollar, some of the dollar stores may do it in certain cities, but it wouldn't matter. It's the dollar. $1, is what has helped things for, for milk, bread and butter, vegetables, all types of food items that you can get at the dollar store. Now, that has helped some, and now they're even going to be taxing groceries because they're selling groceries also. And after this tax thing come about, if we allow this to happen, it's going to affect Oakland dramatically, dramatically. The people in Oakland are going to be seriously affected by it because we have a large population of people that are poor. We have a lot of poor people here in Oakland. And we're going to have to do something about it. We cannot allow this to happen. This is just throwing me off. We cannot allow this to happen. So I'm going to do my part in trying to keep this from happening. That's the best thing I can do. But also, another thought came in mind that in the midst of studying all of this, I thought of something. Okay, I have a person I think trying to get in here to be a guest. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, let me see here. Okay, open that door. Open the door. Okay, I have someone that's, oh, they're leaving out. Oh, okay. I knew I was hearing noise. So anyway, I have a very small studio here, and you can hear pretty much everything, people walking in and out of the house and everything because I have a home-based business. But anyway, we can't allow this grocery tax to we have to vote. And in November, we have to vote according to not having taxes, and that's vote no on the grocery tax. Now, for those in Oakland that want to know more about the grocery tax, you can join them at www. It's called North Oakland Grocery Tax, but no, it's called No Oakland Grocery Tax. NOOAKLANDGROCERYTAX.com. No Oakland Grocery Tax.com. Go there, join them, find out more about it. But it will be devastating to a lot of people if these taxes do come through. We can't allow that to happen. We have enough poor people here already. That's why I brought out my sign. I usually bring this out during voting time. And this is voting time. We have November is the election that's dealing with the president, but we have a number of other issues that we're going to be voting on that before November we will be talking about. We used to do a lot of this stuff at Soul Beach. So I'll be inviting some people down here. I may even be able to get a few politicians. I grew up with a few politicians that are still here, and I may be able to get a little time from them to interview them. I'll go to them. They don't have to come here. But anyway, also there's a voter's self-defense manual, as they call it, and it's put out by Project Vote Smart. Now, let me give you the web address for them, www.votesmart.org, V-O-T-E-S-M-A-R-T, votesmart.org, and look at the information that they have there. They generally keep up with the politicians and let you know how they have been voting for things that affect your community to see if you would like to vote for these people. So contact them and see what the information that they have there for you. I also today want to talk about something that's a major issue here in Oakland, and that's housing. If you're seeking affordable housing, now I've been talking to a number of individuals that receive some form of public assistance, and I try to explain to them when they're talking about affordable housing, they're not talking about those of you that are looking for Section 8, you know, and they have some of the low housing type programs. When they're talking about affordable housing, they're not talking about those. They're talking about people who have jobs, and the cost of living has gone up so high, much faster than their salaries, and now housing has become an issue for even those that have jobs. And so they have programs for them. I'm going to give you some information about this organization that's there to help you, but you have to deal with them during the time they have open applications for affordable housing. Now, this is the East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation. Now, a lot of people think that that's only for Asians. I have gotten a lot of support from various other organizations that are run by people that are not African American. Asians is one of them. They have a lot of services downtown Oakland area, the part where they call Chinatown. They're more than Chinese there now. All of the Asian community is there. It's Asian Town. And they receive a lot of governmental funds, and they have services there. And because I know they can't discriminate, they know they can't discriminate, I go and get services from wherever the money is, and they have those types of services. And the Asian community has a lot of services there, including the flu shots and things of that nature. And see, they're organized. I got in and got out with that flu shot so quick, I couldn't believe it. And because they had it right, like an assembly line, organized. And in addition to that, they have other monies, like the Portuguese Community Center. They paid for my real estate school, and they paid for my real estate license after I had graduated from real estate school. All I had to do was take the test. If I passed it, they'd pay for the license. I was eligible for this because I was low income. I think I was still possibly receiving welfare at that time, because I think my kids were still in elementary school when I got my real estate license. Well, anyway, I was eligible to receive those services. So whenever you know that there are community organizations out there, just because it says a name of a race or culture that we are not a part of, that does not mean that we can't get those services. Now, the East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation has, on a number of occasions, had affordable housing. And they have it where you can come and sign up and be a part of what it is. It's a pre-application submission and all of that stuff. They have a web page for you to go to find out more about it. Now, this, at the very bottom of this notice, is what I want to read. There are two statements at the bottom of this notice. Persons with disabilities are encouraged to apply. All requests for reasonable accommodation will be considered. This is not Section 8 housing. However, EBALDC accepts Section 8 vouchers. Now, this organization not only is dealing with affordable housing, they're dealing with Section 8 as well. And whenever it comes around, you have to be there to find out. These are organizations that are being funded by the government. You will find that the city will announce when these things are happening for affordable housing, Section 8, but you have to go down there to the governmental offices to pick up the flyers or go on their web pages, the governmental office web pages, to find out what's happening in your community as far as the money that's coming to your community. Right now, we're supposed to be in Oakland following the money. Okay? And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And see, right now we're going to have a crisis here, especially with housing. And then now we have this food tax stuff coming up. And we're gonna be very angry people if those food taxes go through. They're already geared up for Oakland to go into a riot because of these police incidents, you know, as well as some of the things that we're doing in the community that we shouldn't be doing related to what's going on. And I consider that the grocery people that are doing these things, they are just as dangerous to us as terrorists that come here from those same countries that we're having problems with. You know what I'm talking about, okay? And for them to come over and not pay taxes in the community that they have businesses, it has the same effect as a terrorist. And we're going to react on it because we have less money to spend each month, which will cause possibly riots. Because, see, social conditions have a lot to do with crime. And a lot of people don't understand that. But the individuals that have the stores, we're going to have to make sure they have at least one person that's working in that store that lives in Oakland. And the only way to do that, you have to do your research, and you will find out that these people don't live here in Oakland. They don't want to live in Oakland, but they want to drain Oakland of money, or maybe they don't look at it that way. I don't know. The effect is they're draining Oakland, and they're draining the poor people that are here. They're taking the money out of Oakland and spending it somewhere else. And we're going to have to stop that. They're not going to be able to just come open up a store here from another country and then don't pay their taxes. You know, because that hurts everyone in the community. Everyone in Oakland. You see that it does because we're going to have a groceries tax.
JJ is with us.
Beg your pardon?
JJ is with us.
Okay. Hi, JJ.
Hi. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm fine. I'm talking about the grocery tax and things like that right now and voting. Do you have any entertainment news for us?
Oh, yeah. I got some juicy little tidbits for you today.
Okay.
First of all, I wanted to start off by letting the listeners know that SBFM, under the auspices of Cheryl Dockery, has allowed us to begin a new segment, and it's called That's That Bull. And y'all can fill in the rest.
That's bull. What this one should be about. What I'm talking about should be said that's a bunch of bull. They're not doing right with the grocery tax.
That is a bunch of bull. And that is
give us some of that.
Oh, yeah, I got some of that for you today. But I also wanted to let our listeners know that they have an opportunity to call into the station, and I'll provide you with the number in just a moment, and you can call into the station and talk to us about some of the things that you think is that bull, based on entertainment, any political issues, anything that you feel that is that bull. And the listeners can call 1. Everybody write this down. I hope y'all got time and a pen. It's 1-888-627-6008. 6008. And that's 1-888-627-6008. Now, before I go any further, I must let you know that this ideal was inspired by my big cuz. Her name is Yvette Smith Hill. And so I just wanted to let y'all know that she is awesome, and she helped inspire this particular segment. Okay, let's move right on. Let's move right along. Now, I know that you guys remember Tatiana Ali. Now, she starred as Ashley Brooks on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Right.
Well, she is suing Time Warner. And I know most of us might be familiar with Time Warner, because she says that she pitched a show back in 2012, that with the same concept as the show that we have come to know as The Real, and the idea was immediately rejected by Time Warner.
Okay.
6 months later, she says that The Real was on the air, and that kind of pissed her off. So she has initiated a lawsuit against Time Warner for plagiarism and all that other kind of stuff, you guys, to think of. Okay, moving right along. Now, the long-awaited Tupac film. I know that some of us are diehard Tupac fans. Well, the film that is entitled All Eyes on Me is actually scheduled to be pushed back because of a beef between the Dog Pound's Daz Dillinger. I know y'all diehard Dog Pound fans know who Daz Dillinger is. And the director, his name is Benny Boom, y'all. Benny Boom. Now, those two are involved in a dispute because both of these men, these parties, claim to own the song that's Tupac's song, y'all know, Ambitions of a Writer. I know y'all know that. My Ambitions of a Writer. Okay, that's y'all memory right now. Well, they are in the middle of a dispute because BMG also claims to own the song. So now the movie has been pushed back and scheduled to be on hold for a minute. And the original release date was September, but now they've actually pushed it back to November. And that is in order to enable, you know, these parties involved to come to an agreement. Okay, moving along. I know y'all know Miss Kerry Washington, the infamous. Yeah, I love Scandal. I love that show. Well, let me tell you what she says. That now she says that she was fired twice for being not urban enough. Okay, y'all, that's that bull. But I'm just putting that out there right now. That's that bull. Now,
wait.
I'm sorry?
You saying she's not urban enough?
Oh, yeah. This is according to, now, this is what she says, Kerry Washington herself. Now, she says that she was actually fired two times for not being urban enough. Now, this was before Scandal. And both the pilots, how they shoot the pilots, you know, proceeded normally. Now,
right.
Now these pilots that were shot went to series. So she landed the part in these two particular pilots as part of a series. Now she says that she was fired. Because, hold on, y'all, they wanted her to be more, hold on, girlfriend. How do you be girlfriend? I'd like to know that. Yes. And then they said that she's not hood enough. Hold on. Not hood enough and not urban enough and not girlfriend enough. Okay. Come on.
What they're saying is she's not ghetto enough.
That's what they're saying. But you know, first of all, I'm going to try to keep my opinions to myself. However, we all know that that's that bull, y'all. That's that bull. And look, let me tell you before we have to go, J-Lo. I know all y'all know J-Lo. I don't even have to provide any kind of explanation as to the Miss J-Lo. Well, she's gotten herself in a little bit of trouble, a little hot water, because she tweeted out that all lives matter.
Right.
Yes, that is true. However, we all know that the entire philosophy of this concept is Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Now, you know, this is why she's in hot water, because people are upset about her leaving out the word black. It's supposed to be Black Lives Matter. There would be no movement in the land if it wasn't for black people looking to save the lives of other black people. Now, we all understand that, yes, all lives matter. However, as a concept, as a movement, she, first of all, I got to say it. I'm going to say it. Y'all can quote me because I'm going to say it. Jennifer Lopez ain't black. There is no way that she can understand the struggles of our black men and women that are in the streets and going to work and taking care of ourselves and raising our families. There's no way that she can speak about that. So I'm going to say it. She ain't black.
This is true. But anyway, it's almost time to close.
She got herself in trouble about that because there has been a large upcry amongst.
Yes, I've heard T.I. had something about it, about not Jennifer Lopez, about that people that came up with All Lives Matter sort of tried to water down Black Lives Matter. But anyway.
Think they came up with All Lives Matter. All Lives Matter is a derivative of Black Lives Matter. And I don't think we have to grasp that concept as a people. And so that is where the movement started from, whether you agree with it or not.
That's true.
The movement started from.
People agree and a lot of people disagree, so we're probably going to, you know, have that. But anyway, it's time for your closing.
Yes, it is. And let me say that I enjoy myself as usual and enjoy speaking with you, enjoy talking with the listeners. And I just want to say that, hey, y'all got to remember that this is JJ, and if the stars have something to say, you better get it from who? Me, JJ. All right. Peace out, Cheryl.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Okay, I'm trying to get my news team to call in when there's some hot stuff to talk about. I have to get Stan the Man back in here because there's something that we're going to be working on. He has a cab show, and I think that needs to be brought out because he's going around in the city of Oakland, and we need that to be pumped up. But anyway, as I started out, it takes a quantitative leap to bring about a qualitative transformation. So we're going to have to come out in quantities during election time. Whenever there's an election, during election time, we have to come out in quantities. Now, what I do and what I'm probably going to do for the November ballot election, I'll wait until they have it where they'll give you a copy of it for public record. And basically what they give you are the streets and addresses and how many people in the household voted, how many people are registered, and all of this stuff. They give that to you, and it's not free. I bought one. The last time I bought one was in 2000 when there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. And it cost me $265 then. I asked for all of Oakland, not just certain zip codes. And I'll probably get all of Oakland again. So I was on Soul Beat then, and we had people call in to find out about certain addresses. It could be their address or it could be somebody else's address, and we would let them know whether people at that address voted. And I'll be doing that again. At the same time, I will be registering people to vote before the election. And hopefully, between now and election time, I can get some politicians, interview a few politicians. I want to close by saying contradiction is the ruling principle of the universe. Without contradiction, there would be no changes. Now, I don't mean the contradiction has to be a riot. Okay? We're going to have to do things the way it's set up. We were told many years ago what was he then? I think he was congressman then. Congressman Ron Dellum, that we as African Americans will have to exert all of our citizenship rights. And if we don't, we won't have rights. And what has occurred since Proposition 209 is that a lot of our rights have been put on the back burner because we sat back and allowed it. Now, we could mess around here and let Donald Trump become president if we want to. And maybe black folk need that because he sure gonna slap some folk and people of color, right, slap them right into whatever it is he want them to do, you know. He's trying to send people back to their countries, and he might even do that. So then we wouldn't have no problem with these little grocery stores because they got to go back home. You know, I don't know. I don't think we need a Donald Trump, you know, but if we let him in, I think those are the type things that he's going to do. He's already dealing with immigration, and he's already shown that he's racist. He's made a number of racist remarks. He may not have himself thought that they were. He needs some sensitivity training when it comes to African-American people in this country because he's messing up a lot. Getting ready to close, people. 2 out of 3 adults in poverty are women. What if we were all to go to the polls? Remember that. Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.